question and answer program everyone enjoys.
I would say yes.
That's right.
That's right.
Here are the questions.
Good evening, David in Mount Cola.
Yeah, hi, Suzanne.
Hi, we have a black-themed history quiz tonight, David, and question one is this. In which country did the black ships led by Commander Matthew Perry arrive in 1854, demanding access to that country's ports for trading?
I think that was Japan, when Japan sort of came into the West.
Yeah, that's right, when they turned up with their ships and kind of at gunpoint said, you got to trade with us or else. Well done, David. That is question one. Okay, question two is this. The origins of the little black dress are attributed to the 1920s designs of which fashion designer?
Was that Christian Dior?
It was not Christian Dior.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Thanks for kicking us off, David.
Thank you.
There's David in Mount Collett. Do you know who is associated with the design of the little black dress? Graham in Perth, good evening. Hello, Graham.
Oh, g'day, Suzanne. Apologies. Look, I don't know the answer to this, so I'm going to hang up and let someone else have a crack.
Oh, can you think of any fashion designers? It's not Christian Dior. What's another famous one?
In the 1920s? I really don't know, so I'll have to go.
I'm sorry, Graham.
Thanks,
okay. Talk to you later. Marianne in Mossman. Hello, Marianne.
Oh, no, I don't know either. I'm sorry.
Oh, can you think of a famous fashion designer?
I think it was American, but no, I don't know.
Oh, well, this one wouldn't be this tricky. Thanks, thanks, Marianne. I definitely do need a few more of you to jump on the phones, although plenty of the texters are very quick with this. Di, Adrian, Bernadette, Rosa, Morgan, you're all straight in with the correct answer here too. Who's more likely to know the answer? Tom in Ocean Shores. Hello, Tom.
Oh, that was quick.
Is it
Da Vinci?
It's not Da Vinci.
Okay.
No.
Thank you.
Tom, obviously, you're so good usually with the history. Maybe the fashion is not quite your forte. Okay, folks, 1-300-800-222. Who knows who was involved in the 1920s design of the little black dress, a very famous fashion designer? 1-300-800-222. Someone also just saying, yeah, just remembering Richard Scollier too, talking about hearing the news about his death. Yeah, very, very sad. G'day to Ben, who says, I'm in Paris watching the French Open final at Roland Garros. Very, very nice. Ah, true. And David in Singleton says, I will be super impressed if the black magnet goes off tonight. It would be entirely apt, wouldn't it, David? If that was indeed to happen. Let's see. Hello, Anne in Yarrawonga.
Oh, what's the question? I've got used it.
Anne, it is this. The origins of the little black dress are attributed to the 1920s designs of which fashion designer? It's not Christian Dior. It's not Givenchy.
Oh, Coco Chanel.
Coco Chanel is the correct answer. Well done. Thank you, Anne. Question three. Opened on May the 15th, 1980, where would you find Canberra's tallest man-made structure?
What year? 1980. 80.
Yes. Where would you find Canberra's tallest man-made structure?
Okay. Parliament House.
It's not Parliament House.
No, I knew it wasn't.
Thanks,
Thank
Anne.
Bye.
Bernadette has it. Adrian has it. Ray has it. Anne-Marie in North Ringwood.
I rang up for Coco Chanel.
Yeah. Okay, what's the theme of our quiz tonight, Anne-Marie?
I think it's black. I haven't really listening.
Okay. All right.
Right.
Opened on May the 15th, 1980. Where would you find Canberra's tallest man-made structure?
Tallest I thought the lady who said Parliament House.
She did say
I haven't been there since I was 13. I'll have to pass.
Thanks, Anne-Marie. Amy says, I have to say that growing up, I was always told that every woman needs a black dress. I can say now as a 28-year-old woman, I haven't ever had a need for one. But did you buy one, Amy, that you've kept in the cupboard and never used or just never got around to getting one? Here's Helen in South Melbourne.
Hello, Suzanne.
Hello.
Is it Black Mountain?
Black Mountain is the correct answer. Yeah.
Thank God, because I too rang for Coco Chanel.
Yeah, so it's Black Mountain Tower, also known as Telstra Tower, formerly Telecom Tower. That is Canberra's tallest man-made structure. It sits 192.5 metres above the summit of Black Mountain. Black Mountain itself is 812 metres above sea level. So, yes. Mm-hmm. Right, question four in our black-themed history quiz. The 1347 siege of Kaffa on the Crimean Peninsula has been claimed as the beginning of which historical event in Europe sparked by Mongol forces throwing dead and infected bodies over city walls?
It's the Black Plague?
Yes, I'll give you that. The Black Death.
Oh, good.
Yes.
I was practicing saying, oh, they traded in black pepper, but when you said threw dead things, I thought, no, that sounds pretty plaguish.
Yes, definitely. Very, very plaguish. Question five. In Norse mythology, which king owned two black ravens named Hugin and Munin?
Oh, dear, is it Blackbeard?
It is not Blackbeard, no.
Oh, well. I've done stunningly well for me.
Yeah, you have, Helen. Thank you.
Thank you. All right.
Nice to talk to you. Don in Sydney is a first-time caller. Welcome, Don.
Oh, hello. How are you?
Yeah, doing well. Thank you very much for joining us. Do you happen to know in Norse mythology which king owned two black ravens named Hugin and Munin?
Yeah, just to clarify, did you say Norse, N-O-R-S-E?
I did.
Well, I'm pleased to... Please, you can confirm that because I have no idea anyway. Well, I suppose the answer's got to have some black word in it, or is it in the Raven question and part of it? Well, I don't know. I'll say Ethelred or something. Ethelred.
It is not Ethelred, no.
Okay. Right,
Don, well, apologies that your first foray wasn't more successful, but let's talk again.
Thank you so much.
Okay, bye. Robin's got it. So does Tana and Sally and Paul and North Fitzroy and Bernadette and Ray in the Bay and Adrian. Nicely done. Heather is in Happy Valley. Hi, Heather.
Oh, good evening. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah.
Are you in Happy Valley, Adelaide?
Yes.
Well, it's still evening then, isn't it?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I just realised I skipped question five and went to question six. Anyway, I'll say it's five and then I'll go back to six. In Norse mythology, which king owned two black ravens named Hugin and Munin?
I've really got no idea. I'll say Eric the Red.
It is not Eric the Red either.
Okay,
thanks, Heather. Dan, I did not take the question about Black Mountain was, where would you find Canberra's tallest man-made structure, which is why Black Mountain was the correct answer. Thank you. Birdie. Hello, Birdie.
Birdie. Hello. Lovely to catch you. Just had a mouthful.
Did you happen to ring for Coco Chanel?
I did.
Do you know what's funny? Normally the quiz is so dominated by men, but after we got stuck on that question, I looked around and there were suddenly six women on the line and I thought, this is how to get the women out. Ask a question about fashion and dresses.
Wonderful.
And then they can stay for the Norse mythology. Okay. Right. Question is, Birdie, in Norse mythology, which king owned two black ravens named Hugin and Munin?
Yes. The only god of that ilk that I know is Odin.
Odin is the correct answer, Birdie.
Oh, my God.
Well done, yes. Now I'll go back to the one that was meant to be five but is now six. On Australia's Indigenous flag, designed by literature artist Harold Thomas in 1971, what does the colour black represent?
I'm not entirely sure, but it could be the Indigenous nation collectively.
I think I'll let you have that. It's the Indigenous people, so the people are their nation. So I think,
oh, great.
I think we'll pass that. Do you happen to know what the yellow and the red represent?
Well, I think one's the sunrise, one's the sunset.
It's yellow represents the sun and the red is representing the red earth.
Okay.
And Sally in Bullsbrook said, my husband has Huggin and Munnin tattooed down each side of his head.
Oh, dear.
It must have hurt.
How lovely.
So, Sally, is your husband quite into Norse mythology then? That's very interesting. Right, question seven, Birdie. The Gallipoli campaign of 1915 was designed to secure the Dardanelles Straits, capture Constantinople, and set up a maritime supply line to which country's Black Sea ports?
I think the most impressive city there was Odessa, but
I need an answer, Bertie.
Yes.
I'll give you 5 seconds.
Okay, that's plenty. I don't know.
Okay, thanks, Bertie. Very nice to talk to you. Thanks for being part of the black-themed history quiz. Here's Susie in Canberra.
Oh, hi. I actually rang about the Black Mountain question, but I'm just guessing Turkey.
It was not Turkey, no.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks, thanks, Susie. Jim in Avoca. Hello, Jim.
Hello.
Hello. Okay, the Gallipoli campaign of 1915 was designed to secure the Dardanelles Straits, capture Constantinople, and set up a maritime supply line to which country's Black Sea ports. It was not Turkey's.
It was Winston Churchill's idea, but I came in at Coco Chanel, so I'm just now in the Dardanelles. It sounds like a song.
It does, doesn't it?
The Russian.
From Chanel to the Dardanelles.
Yeah. Oh, my God, absolutely.
So you've got a guess?
I'm pointing towards the Russians.
The Russians is correct.
Thank you.
Because the Russians were part of Allied forces in World War One. They got isolated by Turkey. And so the whole idea was, whole campaign in Turkey was to basically link up with the Russians.
Yeah. See, I'm an Irishman. We never got along with Winston Churchill.
No, I can imagine not. Question eight. Edward, the oldest son of Edward III of England, was known as the Black what?
The Black Knight.
He was not known as the Black Knight, no.
Oh, bugger.
Oh, sorry, Jim.
Hey, not to worry. It was so nice because the dog said, do it, do it, do it. And she's quite emphatic. And I did okay.
You did do okay. Nice to talk to you, Jim. Talk to you another time. Hello, Jeff in Bacchus Marsh. Oh, my pointer doesn't want to take Jeff. Okay, here we are, Jeff. I think we're on now.
Yeah, I'm on.
Okay, Jeff, it's question eight. Edward, the oldest son of Edward III of England, was known as the Black what?
The Black Prince?
He was the Black Prince, yes. He wasn't the Black Knight, but he was the Black Prince. Thanks, Jeff.
Good.
Okay, this is a little pop culture-y, less historical, this question. Anyone Who Had a Heart and You're My World were hit singles for which English singer in the 1960s?
Cilla Black.
Cilla Black is correct. Question 10. Dating back at least 3,000 years ago and consisting of an ink stick that was made of soot and water and produced a deep black writing often used in calligraphy, India ink originated in which country?
Oh, I guess not India. I'll take a stab at Egypt.
It is not Egypt.
No.
Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, bye. Oh, Tom in Bangkok is just saying that black clothing in Thailand, yeah, isn't it the same here? It's associated with death, mainly only worn at funerals or in mourning. I guess we wear black any odd time here, don't we? Same in Japan, says Tom. Thank you for that. Keith in Sippy Downs. Hey, Keith.
Oh, good evening.
Greetings.
Thank you. Greetings indeed. Yeah, Indian ink, as far as I know, did not exist in India. How about China?
China is where it came from. Yeah. So the early European traders, such as the English and the Italians, they got the ink from merchants and ports in India. And so therefore, because it came from India at the time that it got sent back to Europe, they called it India ink in Europe. So that's how it got the name.
Oh, wonderful.
Question 11. The Black Line was a military offensive in 1830 in which Australian state which sought to displace Indigenous Australians?
I have not the faintest idea. I really wasn't around at that time. The Black Line, could you repeat the question?
Yeah, the Black Line was a military offensive in 1830 in which Australian state which sought to displace Indigenous Australians?
Victoria?
It was not in Victoria, no.
Okay, well, thank you for the go anyway.
Thank you, Keith. Nice to have you on the show. Lynn is on Mornington. Hello, Lynn.
Hello, how are you?
Lynn, is Mornington a town or is it on the Mornington Peninsula or is it its own town?
Mornington is its own town on the Mornington Peninsula.
So you're Mornington on Mornington.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. And I actually, my husband and I had our honeymoon dinner at the top of Black Mountain.
Oh, did you?
It used to be a rotating restaurant at the tower, I believe. So, yes. So no, don't I think came it's in been... on that question.
I don't think it's been operating for a while now.
Not for, no, I'm talking 1984.
So did you go to Canberra for your honeymoon?
We did, yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Was it very romantic up there? Did you get a good view?
We did, yes. It was an evening dinner. Yeah, it was 1984, May the 12th, and we were up there for the following week for our honeymoon. My husband's passed away since, but, yeah, brought back memories when I heard that question. Uh-huh.
Well, thank you for calling in. Now, we are on question 11, not a question likely to bring back any happy memories, but, yeah, the Black Line was a military offensive in 1830 in which Australian state which sought to displace Indigenous Australians?
New South Wales?
It was not in New South Wales, no.
Thank you anyway.
Thanks, Lynn.
Bye.
Bye. We have Dave in Perth. Hello, Dave.
How things, Suzanne?
Not bad at all, Dave. What about you? In your world?
I'm doing all right in my place.
Excellent. Anything interesting happened today?
I cleaned up my backyard and I had breakfast, or brunch, I should say, with a friend.
Nice. Very nice. Well, I had some friends over for afternoon tea and my husband made scones and they were actually quite decent. And when my son tasted them, he said to his father, oh, I didn't think you were capable of producing anything that decent. So,
were they like clouds?
Well, I mean, they weren't quite that good, but I mean, I was expecting. I mean, I'm always nervous. I always fail at scones, so I kind of thought there would be some failure. But he made a practice batch, and they took way longer to cook than the recipe said. So when we got onto the real batch, he knew what to do. But they were a hit, I have to tell you, Dave.
Well, that's fantastic.
What did you have for your brunch?
Oh, I had a eggs benny.
Nice, classic.
Classic, yes.
Now tell me, this is question 11. The Black Line was a military offensive in 1830 in which Australian state which sought to displace Indigenous Australians?
Oh, Western Australia, WA?
No, it was not in WA.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, Suzanne.
Heather is in Nil. Hello, Heather.
Good evening.
Heather, do you know what state?
South Australia.
You're saying South Australia?
Yes.
No, it wasn't in South Australia.
There we go. All the best.
Thanks, thanks very much, Helen. Lek in Barra. Hello, Lek.
Oh, that's such a hard question.
I'm actually quite surprised. I thought this was very, very well known, but not nearly as well known as I thought it was. But the good news for you, Lek, is that we've ruled out Victoria, New South Wales, WA and South Australia.
Scones, they're mm-hmm. such a challenge. I make them with, I've done the lemonade scones, but I'm a savoury sort of person. So I don't use lemonade, I use soda water and lots of bacon and cheese and stuff like that. Ooh. So the same.
So are you still going for the same kind of fluffiness, even though you're going with the bacon and cheese?
But I can't nail it. They're terrible every time. I put cheese on the top. I do all the embellishments. I think I overdo it with my scones. I just would love to turn out scones, you know, big fluffy scones. I mean, they're tasty and lovely, but they're just not, you know, scones. I remember I've tried bacon bits and cheese bits and all that sort of thing. Anyway, it's a total fail.
Maybe it's more complicated because of the cheese and the bacon. Making regular scones, it wouldn't be so difficult.
Well, I think just I overcomplicate things, but I just love it. And then anyway, what a turnout though. I'd lather it with lots of butter and cheese and lovely stuff on top. And they always taste good, but they're just not what I remember.
Yeah.
I think someone's been fooling me all my life.
Well, as my husband said this afternoon, it doesn't really matter because as far as we're concerned, scones are just a serving implement for jam and cream. That's the way we see it, really.
Oh, well, in my case, butter and bacon and cheese. So,
yes, exactly. Now, Lek, question 11.
Northern Territory.
It's not the Northern Territory.
Oh, no. Okay. Good night, Suzanne.
All right. Good night, Lek. Let's talk to Ian in Dover in Tasmania.
Good morning.
Good morning, Ian. In which state was the military offensive, the Black Line, conducted in 1830?
I'd like to dither about and chatter away, pretending that I don't know that it was Tasmania.
Yes, it was Tasmania. The governor there, George Arthur, assembled more than 2,200 soldiers, convicts and settlers into a human chain with the idea of sweeping across the entire island to displace Indigenous Tasmanians.
So we've got some things to be ashamed of.
Yeah, not a very proud part of Australian history, that's for sure.
No.
Ian, question 12. The fourth and final season of the TV show Blackadder was set in which historical time and place?
England in World War One.
Not quite. You've got the time right, but not the place. Thanks, Ian.
Thank you.
Bye. A couple of people are saying try the lemonade scones. Karen says a bit of baking powder in the scone mixture. Mixture is the secret ingredient. Ross reckons that my hubby should try pumpkins. He hates pumpkins. We can't have pumpkin scones because he doesn't like pumpkin. It's problematic. Who's up next? Ray in Yeranga. Hi, Ray.
Hi, Suzanne.
Hi. Okay, Ray, the fourth, this is question 12 in our black-themed history quiz. The fourth and final season of the TV show Blackadder was set in which historical time and place? So World War One is the correct time, but what is the place?
Yeah, I ran for Tasmania. Well, I mean, I knew Tasmania. Mm. Can I just say, do you sieve your flour when you make scones?
Okay. Well, look, we had a successful run today without sieving the flour. So I think we're going to try getting away with it, but yeah. You recommend it and for lemon, others.
And lemonade.
Yeah.
I'll just say Crimea. I don't know.
No, it's not Crimea.
Yeah,
okay. Well, thanks, Ray.
Thanks.
Gosh, lots of scone. Lots of scone advice coming in now. Yeah, Tana in Bella Vista, you've got the correct answer. Someone says to put less stuff in them. They're too heavy to rise. Make sure your mix is wetter rather than dry. Use plain flour and baking powder, not self-raising flour. And John from Arimple says, don't overmix the dough. I do have a few lines that have come free now. So if you'd like to come and play the history quiz, the black-themed history quiz tonight, 1-300-800-222. Hi, Stuart in Victor Harbour.
Suzanne, g'day.
G'day, g'day. Did you ever watch Blackadder?
What's wrong with the phone? It's echoing.
It is a bit funny.
I said funny. Is it g'day? Is it g'day? Said it again.
G'day.
G'day. Oh, hello. All right. Excuse me. I've got my earphones in. I just took them out. I was listening to a talking book.
Okay. The question is this. This is a very strange phone line. The fourth and final season of the TV show Blackadder was set in which historical time and place? It was World War One. It was not England. It was not Crimea.
I'll go to Battle of the Somme.
I mean,
The Battle of the Somme, that's where, 1916, that's where the worst fighting
was.
Well,
look, why don't you tell me what country that was happening in?
I think it was in France.
Yeah, well, I'll give you that then. It was basically the French trenches of World War One.
Specific.
Yes, that's okay.
That is a pretty bad line, they say.
It's really not great.
How's it now? I'll keep my head still.
Yeah, it's better if...
I'm using my head as an aerial.
It's better if you're still, Stuart.
That's for sure. It's a landline, but it's pretty bad at the moment. Normally it's all right. It's hot. Lucky said the same thing. I'll stay as still as I can.
Still as a statue, please. Ancient Egypt, this is question 13, yeah. Anubis, the god of the underworld, took the form of which black animal?
Right. I've got to think about it. I'm just trying to think, crikey, what would be around in Egypt back then? Oh, look, I'll go a black cat.
It was not a cat.
They're revered by the Egyptians, were they? So it wouldn't be a cat. Okay, good night.
Thanks, Stuart. Trev in Surfers Paradise. G'day, Trev.
Oh, hello, Suzanne.
Are you there on your speakerphone, Trev?
Yes, but I'll...
Oh, there you are, there you are. You can instantly hear when you get on the real thing.
Yes, I was putting dog food on a plate. For my dog, 99.
Your dog's called 99?
I love 99.
I love that. That's excellent.
Yes, she's famous in Surfers Paradise. More famous than me.
Do you mind or are you jealous?
Oh, no. Without her, I'd be nothing. Occasionally somebody will look after her and I'll walk around town. And I feel like the invisible man. When I'm with 99, it's, Trevor, 99. Oh, we do karaoke together and she sings and she's famous.
Your dog sings at karaoke?
My word, you ought to hear us do Werewolves of London. Oh, Werewolves of London. I'm trying to get her to howl, but she's busy eating.
No, you gave her the food at the wrong moment for her to perform for us, Trev. But look, we welcome you. We know who you are, with or without 99, maybe because, you know, your name's on the screen and all of that. But anyway.
I'm screen famous.
Now, Trev, in ancient Egypt, Anubis, the god of the underworld, took the form of which black animal?
Look, I seem to think he was a jackal.
A jackal is the correct answer. Well done, Trevor.
Like a doggy thing. Not like 99 at all.
Now, Julie says, this is about scones. There are an immense quantity of SMS now coming in about scones. All my attempts to make scones have been successful in making hockey pucks instead. You either got it or you don't when it comes to making scones, and I don't, says Julie. Trevor, do you make scones?
Yes, I have made them, but, you know, the trick is about scones. You do your best to make them. You know, you put the ingredients in, But if you've got jam and cream, call them Devonshire Tea. Everybody likes you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's what's on the scone. Lashings of butter, good butter. Jam and cream jam. Particularly blackberry jam with a little bit of yogurt on it.
Oh.
Boy, it works.
Oh, I haven't tried that. That's very interesting. I mean, I still think you can have good and bad scones, even if the toppings are good.
If you do a bad scone. You know, sometimes you do a bad batch, but the second lot are always better.
Right, Trev, let's try question 14. What specific item of black clothing did Tommy Smith and John Carlos don to give their famous Black Power salute at the 1968 Olympic Games?
They were gloves.
They were gloves. Well done.
I remember it. I was thinking where you were going. Black Power salute. There they were. And the Australian sat there with respect going, yep, I agree.
Okay, now people want to know more about 99, Trevor. Karen says, what kind of dog is 99?
99 is a parson. In brackets, rough-haired Jack Russell. She's 13 years old and she's an idiot. She is a complete idiot.
Oh.
When God dealt out brains, she thought they were milkshakes and she asked for extra thick.
But she's good at karaoke.
My word.
Yeah, that you can forgive a lot of sins if someone, even if that's a dog, is good at karaoke in my world.
I know. I sang some songs from Rocky Horror Show the other night with 99 on it, yeah, howling, and the performance was average. 99 just got a round of applause, of which he deserved.
So you don't take, is this home karaoke? You can't take 99 to an actual karaoke bar.
To the Yankees bar in Surfers Paradise of a Monday night. There we go. There's an ABC plug.
And 99's allowed in.
Oh, not only allowed in, she is a celebrity of distinction. She's allowed to sit on the lounge and other people just have to make their own arrangements.
I love it. Okay, Trev, let's move along to question 15. In which state would you find the abandoned Australian town of Black Flag, which was built after gold was discovered in 1893, but then abandoned around 1907 when the gold ran out?
1893, a very early gold rush. And it was abandoned when?
1907. They didn't have many good days in Black Flag.
Black Flag. Look, I thought I knew every town in New South Wales.
Well, I didn't say it's in New South Wales. I said in which state?
Yeah, and, hey, thanks, girl.
I know. Oops.
Whoops. In 93. Look, I'm thinking Victoria, but I'm going to go Queensland.
It is not Queensland.
Oh, damn.
Thanks, Trev, and good night to 99.
And good night to you, Suzanne, and to all your listeners who like my rather ridiculous dog.
Yeah, well, Ray in the Bay says, shout out to 99 from Ray in the Bay and his two short head jacks. So there's bonding across the airwaves.
They would love each other.
Thanks, Trev. Oh, dear me. Right, Stephen in Springvale. Hello, Stephen.
Hello.
Hello. Now, in which state, Stephen, would you find the abandoned Australian town of Black Flag, which was built after gold was discovered in 1893, but abandoned again around 1907 after the gold ran out?
Well, I'm thinking it's not Victoria because I live here and I've never heard of it. So I really have no idea. I'm going to say South Australia.
It's not South Australia, no.
Okay.
Thanks, Stephen. Ted in Canberra. Hello, Ted.
Hey, Suzanne. How you going?
Good. Okay, so we've ruled out Queensland. We've ruled out South Australia. In which state would you find the abandoned Australian town of Black Flag that was built after gold was discovered in 1893 but abandoned again around 1907 when the gold ran out?
Yeah, well, it's a really descriptive question. I really wish someone had knocked out Victoria because that was my gut feeling, which I always avoid. I'll go Victoria.
It's not Victoria. Thanks, Ted. We have Claire in Modbury who will have the next go at this. Hello, Claire.
Hello. Also, I guess, Western Australia.
Western Australia is correct.
Oh, great.
Yeah. I know, I'm just reading a book about the gold rush in Kalgoorlie. In fact, we'll talk about it next Friday night. And that was all going on around this time too, I think. But there are a couple.
My grandfather went over there to Menzies in about 1904, something like that.
Was he looking for gold?
He went for the gold fields, yes. Went from Ballarat. Over to the Gulf. I don't think they stayed very long. Don't think my grandmother could stand the life.
Mm. Now, this town of Black Flag, there are a couple of theories about how it got its name. One is that it originates from a flag that had been hung up to indicate that a store was open for business. Another theory is that the name is because of the hills and flats being coated with a black ironstone wash that were nearby. Now Bobslin's just saying in regards to that Black Power salute that I read they wore single gloves for the Black Power salute because one of the guys left his pair back at the hotel. Oh, if true, Bobslin, that's an excellent piece of trivia. Okay, Claire, question 16. Worn predominantly during the 16th to 18th centuries in Venice, what white item was required to be worn if you were also wearing a black cape called a tabarro and a black tricorn hat?
Oh.
Okay, I'll read it again. Worn predominantly between the 16th and 18th centuries in Venice, which white item was required to be worn with a black cape called a tabarro and a black tricorn hat?
A bow tie?
It was not a bow tie, no.
Of course not.
Thanks, Claire.
Thank you.
Bye. Oh, Adrian, you have it. That's very quick. Noel in Broadwater. Hey, Noel.
Hello, Suzanne.
Hello. Okay, worn predominantly during the 16th to 18th centuries in Venice, what white item was required to be worn with a black cape called a tabarro and a black tricorn hat?
I can't picture the ensemble and a white cummerbund.
It's not a cummerbund, no. Thanks, Noel.
Good night, Suzanne.
Good night. Any ideas what this might be? 1-300-800-222. I've got some lines free. Hello, Barbara.
Hello, Suzanne. Yeah.
Have you been to Venice, Barbara?
Have I? Sorry.
Venice?
What did you say, sorry?
Have you been to Venice?
No, I haven't been to Venice, but I've travelled a fair bit in Europe and Scandinavia and America. But I haven't been to Venice. I've been to Asia.
Well.
And I've been right round Australia, but I haven't been to Venice.
Well, that your lack of a trip to Venice may or may not help you with this particular question. So, Venice, what white item was required to be worn with a black cape called a tabarro and a black tricorn hat, predominantly during the 16th to 18th centuries?
Well, I was thinking it'd either be a scarf or a kerchief. A thing around the neck.
All right. No, it's not
and,
a scarf.
I didn't know what... I rang for the Blackadder one and I didn't hear the answer. Was that Germany?
No, it was France. Trenches of France.
I'm glad I didn't get that one then.
Thanks. All right. Not a scarf or kerchief, I'm afraid, Barbara.
Never mind. Thank you.
Thank you. Kat's got it. Someone without a name has it. Ed in Perth even has the very precise name of it. Sandra in Perth has it too. So does Cheryl in Sherrybrook. Arnold in Perth. Hi, Arnold.
Oh, hi. Good evening,
Suzanne. Good evening. What is this mask that was required? I mean, what's this item that was required to be worn with a black cape and a black tricorn hat?
I think you're right there, Suzanne. It is a mask.
I just gave it away. It is a mask.
I knew it.
Yes. Lockie said that you knew it, so thank goodness I didn't give it away to someone who didn't know it. Yeah, it was part of a costume that was used to give people from different classes anonymity and enable them to socialise across classes. And in fact, at certain political decision-making events, when all citizens had to kind of turn up and make decisions, you actually had to wear this outfit so that nobody knew who you were and you could make all these decisions anonymously. But only men had the right to use it. This mask was called, I'm not sure about the pronunciation, maybe you know, Arnold Bouter?
No, I don't know, but I have bought a few Venetian masks before, so...
Yeah. Anyway, that was it. It was the white mask, but you've got to wear it with the black cape and the black tricorn hat. Question 17 in our black-themed history quiz, Arnold. What was the name given to the 19th and early 20th century practice of coercing, deceiving or kidnapping Indigenous people from the South Pacific Islands to work as forced or indentured labourers, primarily on sugar and cotton plantations in Australia?
Oh, sorry, I wouldn't know anything about that one.
Thanks for calling, Arnold. I do have a few lines free and we are nearly, well, we very much are at the business end of this history quiz. I think we've got four more questions to get right. 1-300-800-222. Nicholas in Harndorf.
Hey, how are you doing?
Hi. Do you know this one?
I do, actually. I remember it from school. It's called Blackbirding.
Blackbirding. Yeah, that's right.
And before we go on, I owe you a big thank you. One of the magnets turned up about a fortnight ago that I'd won, obviously, and you'd written a really lovely handwritten note, so thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. I haven't done it for everybody, but Greta was with me that night. She's like, you've got to write something. You've got to make it jazzy.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, I hope I'm making everyone very envious then.
All right, I better go and write some more then for whoever gets it tonight. Okay, question 18. In 1233, Pope Gregory IX issued a papal bull called Vox in Rama, in which he explicitly linked witchcraft and devil worship to what kind of black animals?
Ooh. Black animals. Mm. Cats.
Cats. Exactly so. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a stab in the dark.
Now, imagine that. Literally, the Pope's there writing an encyclical or whatever it is about the cats, black cats.
It's certainly stuck, hasn't it? Yeah. I mean, it's still, superstitiously bound to that.
Exactly. Okay, question 19. In which year was colour television introduced into Australia, paving the way for the demise of black and white television?
Oh, God, I think I vaguely remember it. Oh, hang on. I'm 55 now. Oh, they've been so good up to now. Hang on. 65?
How did you get... What was going on in your head then?
Really bad maths. Well, obviously good maths, but yeah.
Okay, this puts you in the position to potentially take this out, Nicholas.
Oh, God, I've got the heartbreak on.
Everyone's telling me on the SMS that Phil gave an answer away during the week too.
Oh, so it's catching.
Mm. Question.
I did laugh when you blurted out mask.
Which mask? Oh, hang on. Yes. It's not the first time I've done it. I have definitely done it before. Question 20. For the win. Established in 1872, the Black Allan Line officially makes up part of the border between which two Australian states?
Oh, God. Suzanne.
Yeah.
It's a hard one. Look, I'm just going to have to guess, I think. You've had so many states tonight. I'll say, oh, I'm going to definitely say New South Wales, either going north to Queensland or south to Victoria. Oh, you didn't mean to, I'll just go Victoria.
Well done, Nicholas.
Thank you. I've never heard of the Black Allen line. Yes. What does it mean?
Yeah, so they were surveyed by Alexander Black and Alexander Allen, and it's basically the part, you know how part of the New South Wales-Victoria border is the River Murray? The Black Allen line is the rest of it, the straight line that runs from...
Oh,
yeah,
the fascinating.
Yeah, I know. I thought that was very interesting.
I've learned something.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.